some good news. Remember when we were re-recording seasons 1 and 2? Well, we have Mindy McCready re-recorded with Jake, now available on our Spotify feed. So if you scroll back to season 2, I believe it was episode 6 or 7 there. Mindy McCready, she was a country star for a time. And, I mean, honestly had a pretty short career before things started really spiraling downwards for her. That story with updated information, more stuff from Jake available now. So scroll on back to season 2 or type it into your search bar. Death by Music Podcast, Mindy McCready. Now on with today's episode. We're going to go ahead and continue where we left off last week. We were talking about Macho Man Randy Savage's rap album. And in the article, it mentioned Bubba the Love Sponge, which... you guys, I mean, if you listen to the radio, you might have heard his show or heard of his show. He was a shock jock from Florida, and he was always doing outrageous shit. And I knew his show got canceled for something that was pretty scandalous. I did not realize it involved Hulk Hogan. So, yeah. Fuck it. We're going to talk about it. Cool. So today's article is from the Daily Mail, and it's by Matthew Wright from 2018. So, Jake, if you want to spearhead this one, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, you better go listen to that. We were just actually checking out some of Macho Man's rap songs, one of them called Be a Man, and it straight up calls out Hulk Hogan by name. The whole song is just talking shit to Hulk Hogan for being a bitch. Because I guess on Bubba's radio show, all they did was call out Randy Savage. And his show wasn't just in Florida. It was syndicated all over America.
Okay,
so,
because
if it was just in Florida, then, like, who cares? Like, fuck those nerds, right? But it was syndicated, so you could get it, you know, all over the place.
Right. Yeah, it's not terrible. It's not like, remember when we did the Ramones episode and Dee Dee put out that rap album? But it was like, did you try to listen to any of that?
No.
You're probably better off for it. I did it just out of morbid curiosity. Not great. That one came out in the 80s, I do believe, or very early 90s. Macho Man, not being a rapper just like Dee Dee, I think he kind of had the upper hand on Dee Dee there a little bit.
Yeah.
As far as, you know. But yeah, the whole thing's up on Spotify. The album's up there. If you guys want to listen to it, check it out. It's not bad.
How many songs does it have?
I think it was like 15 or something. It was like a full fucking album.
Damn.
But if you didn't listen to last week's episode, you should probably know that you're listening to Death by Music Podcast, so go search that and find that episode. Of course, I'm Jake, and I'm here with Alex, coming at you with another mini, I guess technically part 2 of last week's episode.
Well, it's a different story, but it goes more in depth on the Hulk Hogan
side
of things.
Coincides, yeah.
Yeah, which the Hulk Hogan side of things sounds crazy. I can't wait. All right, Jake, take it away. again, from the Daily Mail, the title is The Downfall of Bubba the Love Sponge, How Infamous Shock Jock Went from the King of Florida Radio to Borrowing Money from Neighbors for Bills After Hulk Hogan and Ratings Scandals.
Bubba the Love Sponge was once Florida's boisterous equivalent to Howard Stern, hosting one of the state's largest radio shows and making up to $2 million a year. Wow.
You don't make money like that in radio.
Not in the radio, yeah. Holy crap. But his place among the radio elite came to a screeching halt after he was involved in a Nielsen rating scandal and secretly filmed former best friend, wrestling icon Hulk Hogan, having sex with his wife.
With his wife or with his wife?
Hogan's wife or his wife, right. There's really nothing you can say to take me down further than I already am, he explained to the Tampa Bay Times in an extensive interview. Once a beacon on FM radio across the country, Bubba is now doing shows on the considerably smaller FM 98.3 in, what is that, Pinellas County?
I guess.
In Tampa. He's now an AM 820. So he's just slowly going down that ladder there. In Tampa, he's now on AM 820 and still has thousands of listeners online through BubbaArmyRadio.com. Well, I guess that's one transition you can make.
I mean, if you can find sponsors.
Yeah, or, you know, people listen to us. We don't have sponsors.
We don't make money. It's not going to be making, it's not a full-time job.
Yeah. His downfall began with a decision to betray his friend, wrestler Hulk Hogan, having sex with the DJ's wife.
Oh.
All right. Heather Klemwald, the wrestler, stayed in their home's guest suite in 2006.
Was this like, did he set this up, or did he think there was something going on between the two and decided to catch them in the act? I have questions.
Mm-hmm. For years, all was quiet until the tape leaked and was published by now-defunct gossip site Gawker. Well, I don't think it was a planned release. Maybe by him.
We'll find out. But why did he record it? Just so he knows? Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, the leak resulted in Bubba getting fired and Hogan winning a record-breaking $140 million from Gawker, which resulted in its closure.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so this isn't like some of the other tape leaks that we've talked about.
Because those were mostly concerned with women, and they didn't give a fuck. They were like, well, you shouldn't be a slut.
Oh, well, I wonder if they... Well, also in those ones, they somehow snake their way around saying, like, oh, yeah, we legitimately got this tape. So I wonder if Gawker got their hands on it and they were able to prove that it was illegitimately acquired.
It doesn't matter because the Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee tape was not legally acquired.
That one was stolen, wasn't it?
It was stolen
from their fucking house. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody broke in and stole the fucking tape. That's literally what happened.
Yeah.
So the fact that Playboy never got shut down is fucking, like, what the fuck?
Right.
It just pisses me off. Whatever. Moving on.
Hogan has moves in the work against other parties, but has taken no legal action against his former pal. Back in 2006, Bubba secretly recorded Hulk Hogan having sex with the DJ's wife, Heather Klem, while the wrestler stayed in their guest suite. In late July, Bubba reached a settlement for a ratings tampering lawsuit from Nielsen. In 2015, the lawsuit had been asking for $1 million. Bubba was said to have texted a Nielsen panelist, "I need you more than ever," while working with Tampa's WBRN FM 98.7.
Ooh, that's not allowed. Yeah, so if anybody doesn't know how Nielsen ratings work, you may have gotten something in your mail at any point in your life that is asking you to basically wear a monitor. It probably looks like a smartwatch nowadays, or like a beeper or pager. And so you just wear this thing and it collects any data from any radio stations that you're listening. All of the streams are encoded with this like subaudible tone, and please forgive me if I'm not getting all the technical aspects correct on this.
Who?
I mean, he who shall not be named.
Better
don't
bleep that out.
Don't come at me. It can pick up what stations you're listening to, and then it collects data for those stations, and that's how we get the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And these monitors, they get sent out to people. Like, you have to agree to do it. They'll pay you money to do it. And you are not allowed to have a relationship with anybody in radio or TV. And if you do, if you have friends, if you have family, you are not eligible. It's all outlined in that letter there, because then you can start taking bribes and people. There's a lot of money on the line here.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot have a relationship. So I've had some people, like I've had friends, I'm pretty sure Cassie has gotten a Nielsen thing before, and she's not allowed to accept it because she has so many friends in radio.
Right.
And like, if I were to go to her knowing she has a monitor and say, hey, can you just put our station on all day long? That affects our ratings, and giant companies make business deals based on those ratings. So if those numbers are fake, or if they are influenced in any way by the station, highly illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it sounds like. He knew somebody who had a meter and was like, all right, let's go listen to our shit. That's super unethical.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there.
Look,
we all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now.
Shit.
I ain't gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm curious. I wonder how that worked 20 years ago, if they had a similar device or if some other way.
I think so.
Because I've had friends do the TV version of it, and I think you just had to basically log, like a little log book, and you just, anytime you sat down and was looking at something.
They have two separate ways of doing this, and the meters are, I would say, more accurate. The other...
Probably more modern.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I was in Florida, we had journals. We didn't,
okay.
But the people who were down there had journals, and at the end of like every week or whatever, they're supposed to write down what stations they listen to and for how long, and that's why in some markets, it is drilled into your fucking head what station you're listening to. Like, they're not going to go more than 5 minutes without saying it.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in Daytona at that station, we had to say the name of the station at the top and the bottom of each break that we did.
Isn't it also required at least once an hour by law for radio stuff?
That's the legal ID. So that's a recorded thing that plays at the top of the hour, and it says the call letters.
Uh-huh.
So that is required by law. But
okay.
But when somebody's, like, you can kind of tell what kind of market you're in if they don't shut the fuck up about what station you're listening to. Like, they say it seven times while they're talking. That's a journal market, and they're saying it so many times because they want you to remember which station it is and write it down. Where we were in Florida, there were two stations that had similar names, and this, so it was, I was at the Hog, which is Daytona's rock station.
Right.
And there were some people there that got like fired or whatever, and so they broke off and started their own station. Like, that whole morning team or whoever it was moved over and started Rock of Daytona, and everybody got them mixed up. I got in a fucking fight with a woman at a bar once because she was like, "Where do you work?" And I was like, "The Hog." And she was like, "I know someone who works there." And I was like, "Who is it?" And she said some girl's name. And I was like, no, there's nobody there by that name. And she was like, "Fuck you. Yes, there are. You're a liar. You don't fucking work there." And I was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you, you stupid bitch?" And so I pulled up. I was like, "I bet this woman works at Rock of Daytona." So I pulled up the other radio station and I was like, "Here. She works here." And she was like, "That's what I said." And I was like, "No, it's not. You said she worked where I work. And I know where I work. And I said the Hog. And she doesn't work there. So fuck you. Stop yelling at me." It was crazy. But everybody got the two mixed up. So we would always get in trouble if we didn't say the station's name enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ruins everything that you're talking about when you're constantly like, 95.7 The Hog, we're doing this, that, and the other, and it's 95.7 The Hog, and we're going to be here on Saturday, and you're listening to 95.7 The Hog. Like,
that's
fucking shut up. It's so annoying. So hopefully everybody gets meters, because then you don't have to say shit.
Right.
Because it'll automatically record which station it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's less annoying.
All right,
I don't know
so,
where the fuck we were in this story.
Yeah, but. No, after Bubba's Nielsen debacle, since then he has lost stations in, I'm going to say, Ocala, Orlando, and even in Reno,
Ocala.
Nevada. Ocala, is that what it is?
Yeah.
He even joked with Stern that he'd lost his house. "Someone told me you're living in a trailer," Stern asked on his show. "Is that true?" "Yeah, it's, yeah, I lost my house," Bubba replied. "I lost it. $1 million legal fee on this other whodunit that I did." In fact, Bubba still owns his St. Petersburg estate. He listed it the 6,367 square foot home up for sale for a hefty $1.3 million. The home is practically empty, with a majority of Bubba's possessions fitting inside boxes that are stored in the garage, along with a copy of his federal trademark on the 12 Boobs of Christmas. Records indicate that the 52-year-old, whose birth name is Todd Clem, owes $47,000 in past due property taxes and an additional $200,000 to the IRS as of August 2018. In September, Bubba tried to put the mansion up for auction starting at $900,000, but got no bids on the home. He had to give away his rescue pit bull 10-year-old Peaches because he couldn't afford to take care of her.
"What?
This is hard for me to admit, but I've had my water turned off," he explained. "I had to go to my neighbor, Richard Fabrizi, just to borrow a few $100 to get it turned on." Bubba admits to not being financially smart about his money and blowing millions while losing the rest, paying for his divorce and lawyers. He added, "If someone would just put me on a real sexy station, you'd see. It would be the biggest comeback of all time." Sounds a little delusional there. The sentiment was shared by co-host Mike Manson Waters, who felt that Bubba could be in store for an epic comeback. The show's better than it's ever been, he stated, but we've been pretty much burned through all the major radio companies in this town. Bubba has taken responsibility for his role in both the Nielsen scandal and the betrayal of his best friend.
Was it not a betrayal of his wife, or was it who betrayed? I mean,
I don't
like
know
both
what
betrayals.
That whole situation is. That's a little awkward, for one. And
did Hulk Hogan apologize for fucking the dude's wife?
No, he got a bunch of money, though.
And I'm pretty
apparently.
Sure he's still married.
I was going to say, I think he might have been married at that time. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Hmm. Yeah, I was thinking of Linda Hogan. He divorced her in 2009. Then he was married from 2010 to 2021 to a Jennifer McDaniel. So he was married at the time of this.
I was going to say, because this was still early 2000s then.
When did they say that he filmed? Oh, shit. Okay, 2006. So he was with Linda for 3 more years, and then they broke up, and then he got married again.
I'm sure this might be a part of why they broke up.
Yeah, I would think.
The personality shared his disdain with his show's prominence and blamed one crucial party, Bubba's show in turn turned employee Mike Calta. Bubba claims that Calta, who took Bubba's coveted morning time slot after the host was fired, and Matt Lloyd, known as Spice Boy, leaked the Hogan sex tape so that he would lose his job. What are they doing with the tape?
Yeah, how do they even have access to it?
And know about it.
Yeah. You can't know about
like
a tape
just
that's...
like bringing it to work and being like, hey guys, look. Check this out. Calta, Lloyd, and Cox Radio Inc. Are all listed as defendants in the current lawsuit brought by Hogan, which also mentions the wrestler's use of the N-word. I vaguely recall that. He alleges that Calta and Lloyd used Hogan as a way to get back at Bubba while all three worked at Cox's 102.5 The Bone.
Wow, I'm not surprised he was on that station.
Right. Calta was found to have sent several 2012 emails to his agent, Tony Burton, with clear instructions on how to get the material to Gawkers anonymously.
Okay, but it's not anonymous if you have documented proof of you telling someone to do it. You can't.
Right. You got to erase that stuff, guys. Come on.
Don't even send it in a fucking email. Have a conversation with the guy in person.
Well, that's better. I was going to say send snail mail, but that's still written down.
Still written down. Like, God damn
at least
it.
You can burn
doing
that.
Doing crimes, then stop fucking making a paper trail.
Lloyd, on the other hand, is said to have sold clips to both TMZ and TheDirty.com. After Gawker's release of the tape, Lloyd was said to have enlisted Los Angeles attorney Keith Davidson in an effort to extort $300,000 from Hogan for the N-word usage.
Jesus.
Now, this part, I do vaguely remember something, some video. I'm assuming the video clip was from this, obviously, because we're talking about it, that where he threw that word out and everybody was like, that's not Hulk Hogan. That's like he's not that type of person. But, you know, he just happens. I don't remember all the circumstances behind it, but. Tampa police became involved once Bubba started getting alarming tweets from an anonymous source, prompting the officers to speak to Lloyd. According to a police report, Lloyd admitted that he wanted Bubba to squirm and added that he is a very bad man and has a lot of connections. I have seen him make a phone call and get people arrested. It was concluded that Lloyd stole the DVDs from Bubba's office.
What's he doing in your office?
But Hillsborough County prosecutors didn't file any charges against him. Hogan blames Cox, which owns 61 stations, of fostering Tampa's shock jock culture and the sordid history of unlawful activity, resentment, and desire for revenge. A lot of quotes in that sentence. Bubba is watching the case very closely, hoping Calta gets axed from Cox because of the role he played. I've lost pretty much my entire radio business, and he's got my show. I can't, he said. Accepting his own role, Bubba feels that Calta got away easy. Bubba added, if I've been dealt this hand, I shouldn't be the only one. Maybe both of us deserve to be done. Today, the radio personality spends almost every weekend at the Bubba Raceway Park in Ocala. Okay. He's got his own raceway now. He bought this raceway. I thought he didn't have any money. So a driver named Tyler could practice.
Who knows?
Go Tyler. While it doesn't bring in a lot of money, Bubba does make a hefty profit on Saturdays when a couple hundred people pay $14 to watch races.
These guys.
He drives a tractor around the track for hours in an effort to make the dirt suitable for race. Okay, it's a dirt track. I see that, especially down south. He calls it an art form. Yes, dragging that dirt machine behind the tractor. Okay. His foundation, named after him, helps raise money for families of slain officers. Okay, that's fine. I have about 10 families I'm responsible for, Bubba said of his current work. There is a tremendous amount of pressure. And that's the end of the article. Okay.
Random. I guess it's nice he's doing charity stuff.
Yeah, you can't.
There's not a
you can't
ton
slam
of,
him on that, but
there's not a ton of money in that, though. And if you're, I don't know. My thought would be if you need money for yourself, I guess that's a very kind way to go about doing it because it's going to be a slow road.
Right.
Because if you want people to give you money, you probably want to keep it, right? Like all of it.
That's a problem with charities and stuff like that. So, I mean, I hope somebody's keeping tabs on them and keeping them honest on that side of it. And
what a shame to have made that much money as a fucking radio host and not put any
which
away.
Which is damn near impossible. Oh, like, you're in the top, like, half percentile of DJs ever if you're making that kind of money, I would assume.
Yeah, he's probably the only one who's right under Howard Stern, and then the rest of us are making fucking, you know, I don't even want to say. well, that's interesting. Okay, so, yeah, it was Bubba's wife that he was having sex with. And they did not stay together, obviously.
I wonder what she looks like. No, I don't.
I'm
just kidding.
She's definitely not Hulk Hogan's type, that's for sure. Because I looked up while you were reading this. Yeah, I looked up the...
What was her name again?
Heather Klemm. So Heather Klemm is a good-looking lady. She has long brown hair. And Hulk Hogan historically... So she's not wife material for him because he historically only marries women who look like him and his daughter. Because he was married to Linda for a while. She had the bleach blonde hair, too. She looks just like him. And then the next chick was Jennifer McDaniel, who also looks just like a newer model of Linda. And then his next wife, who he's currently married to now, Sky Daly, just looks like a newer model of those two. So...
Hey, upgrades, people, upgrades.
He's definitely got a type.
Right, yeah.
And they're girls who look exactly like his daughter. It's really fucking weird. So no, Bubba's wife was not really his type, but, you know, she was attractive.
She's not bad looking at all.
Whatever. I don't know. They're not together anymore. Next, we're going to hit, for our next mini episode, we're going to hit a story that was sent to me by Kathleen. That's kind of a continuation of the disco demolition thing we did a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, she did comment on that.
Yeah, so I think it'll be pretty fun. Stay tuned. We will talk about that next Monday. And I think by the time this comes out, on or about this day, yeah, our second episode of season 6 should be out from Joseph Ballone. So that's our February episode this year.
Oh, yeah. We did do that, didn't we?
It's a good one. And I hope you guys listen to it. Mindy McCready on or about this date as well. A re-record from season 2.
Right.
So go check those out. Thanks for listening. If you want to find us on Facebook, search for Death by Music Podcast Fans. You can comment in the group and suggest stuff as well. Rest in peace.
Later.
Death by Music Podcast is written and produced by Alex Motler, Cassie Gardner, and Jake.